I ask you to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40. The prophet Isaiah writing in chapter number 40, and verse number 28. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 28. And here the word of the Lord tells us, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding." Lord, we thank you this morning for this opportunity we have that we can come and assemble ourselves here in this house of worship. And Lord, that we can this morning sing praises unto you, that we can lift up our voices in jubilation for what you've done through us through Jesus. We ask you this morning that as we offer our prayers to you, that you might hear our prayers. We ask you this morning now that all that we do might meet thy approval, and that we might lift up and glorify thy Son, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen and amen. When I was about 9 or 10 years old, my dad lived up in the Unity community of Lee County, and we attended Unity Baptist Church, and Brother Buford Harper was the pastor. And back then, there's still a lot of gravel roads. I'm talking about didn't have any pavement on them at all, and all through the community. And Brother Buford had an old Chevrolet car, and back then people didn't drive quite as good as they drive now. And Brother Buford was kind of a wild driver. And one time he came by and got my dad to go with him to see somebody, see about something. And being a little boy, I asked, could I go? And I got in the back seat. And we were going around one of those winding gravel roads. And he was about to go in the ditch every time he'd go around a curve. And my daddy said, "Brother Buford, won't you slow down just a little bit? We're going to wind up in the ditch." And he said, "Don't worry about it, Miss Edge." He said, "The Lord's riding with me. He's helping me drive." So we got a little bit further down the road and nearly went in a ditch again. And my daddy looked over at him. He said, "Brother Harper, I think if you stop this car, me and the Lord both get out." But you know, here in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah is reminding the people of his day. And I think this morning, as the Holy Spirit has preserve this word for us this morning, he's also reminding us that no matter what we look around and see, that God is still in control, that he's still in charge of this world. He tells us here that God is not exhausted, that he's not grown weary, that he's not tired this morning. God this morning, he reminds us that God's people need never to lose hope. One of the great things that God's people have today is hope. I sometimes look around our world and I see these people who claim they do not believe in God. They call themselves agnostics, and some of them call themselves atheists, and wonder, where is their hope? What do they hope in this morning? Because as I see the things that are transpiring in our world today, I thank God that I have hope this morning, and I need never to lose hope, because no matter what happens today, God is still in charge of this world. He's still in charge and control of the things that's going on around us. That's what Isaiah is reminding the Israelites about this morning. And I believe as God has preserved this word for us, that it teaches us this morning that we never have to lose hope, because this morning God is still in control. We don't even have to worry about the future today. Our future this morning is in the control of God. I don't have to worry about it today. Now, sometimes people take the idea that of worry and concern today, and I have concerns, I have burdens this morning. I'm concerned for my grandchildren and my children. I have burdens this morning for people who do not know God. But far as worrying about the future today, I don't have to worry about the future because the future is assured this morning. God has already decreed what the future holds for me and for His people today. So we don't have to run around wringing our hands and taking aspirins and other drugs this morning to kindly calm our fears. We only have to put our trust and our faith in God and His Word this morning. One of the names of God in the Old Testament is El Ahan, which simply means the Most High God. It means this morning that God is a sovereign God. This morning He is unique and supreme over everything else today. He's not just mighty God today, He is the Almighty God. He's not just the sufficient God, He's the El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God. And He always accomplishes His plans and His purposes without fail. You know, we this morning as people sometimes make plans and we have purposes that we intend to do. But sometimes things intervene and sometimes things happen that we can't foresee, that we might not be aware of what's going to take place. But yet this morning we can assuredly say that our God today, without fail, accomplishes His purposes and His plans because nothing ever takes God by surprise. God is never surprised this morning. As Larry Winkler used to say, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? Because God this morning is the supreme Elohim of this universe today. A model prayer, as the disciples came to Jesus and asked Him to teach them to pray. One of the lines that He taught them was, "Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth." Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. You know, this morning, the book of Proverbs tells us that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and He turneth it whithersoever He will. This morning, a study of Scripture will certainly this morning tell us that that is absolutely verifiable truth, that God turned kings' hearts in the Old Testament and He guided them and directed them and made them go and do things that we wouldn't have thought that they would have done. Because you see this morning, God this morning is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Elohim. He is this morning the Most High God. And His will this morning is the controlling power of this world. It's not this morning being controlled by Washington, D.C. or Moscow, Russia or Beijing, China or any other national power today. This world is controlled by the Almighty God who sits upon the throne in glory this morning. Somebody says, well, what happens this morning when people don't follow His will? Let me understand today that God's will can be broken, but God's will always goes forth. Look in the Old Testament and you find this morning a man by the name of Adam who God created out of the dust of the earth and brought to him a woman brought out of his side. And He gave them certain conditions to live in the Garden of Eden in paradise. And the only condition they had to meet was not to take of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yet this morning we know that they partook of that fruit and God's will was that they would live this morning in that paradise. But they broke God's will. They went against God's will. And when you go against God's will, guess what? God's judgment then comes upon you. And God's judgment was pronounced upon Adam and upon Eve. And they were driven out of the garden. They were driven out of paradise. Childbirth this morning is painful because of sin. We this morning have to work because of sin. In the morning when that alarm clock goes off and you have to roll out of that bed and you have to wipe your eyes and you're tired and you're weary, but you have to go to that job. You know why? Because Adam sinned a long time ago and God's judgment fell. Because he said, now you're going to earn your living by the dust of you, by the sweat of your brow. Now you're going to have to till. You're going to be a laborer. You're going to be a toiler. Boy, did Adam mess up. Every morning I get up, I get mad at Adam, don't you? Think about that. But God's will was that they stay in the Garden of Eden and become the guardians and the protectors of his domain. They went against God's will, and God's judgment fell upon them. Look over in the times of Noah. The Bible said that man's heart was only evil continually. Well, I read that verse and I think God must have been reading our modern day newspaper. He must be making a comment on the society and the times in which you and I live this morning. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God, and God this morning's will is not that anybody perish. He's long-suffering. And so he told Noah, he said, I want you to build an ark. And the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, that he built this ark, and for 120 years the Spirit of God strove with men. But men mocked and made fun of Noah. They laughed. But on a certain date, at a certain hour, Noah and his family entered the ark, and God shut the door, and the fountain of the deep opened up, and the rain began to fall, and strong men began to cry. But God's judgment failed, because his will was not that they be lost and drowned in the flood, but that they be saved. But when you go against God's will this morning, I want you to understand this. God's judgment always falls. You see, his will this morning is the controller of a cosmic order around us today. He controls our universe. Some people think Al Gore does, but let me tell you, the one that controls this universe today is God. I sometimes like to watch some of these documentaries about the world and all the marvels of it, and it's wonderful. Well, I tell you, sometimes you see things, and I'm sitting here and watching all the marvels of this creation and how everything is so precise and everything is really so predictable. You see, all we're doing is discovering what God already created. And you see all of this. And then we'll have these educated people come out and begin to tell us why it's happening. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You see, God's got everything in perfect order. The earth is tilted to the exact degree on its axis. Everything revolves in the universe in exactly the correct way. Everything interacts with each other. And all of God's creation this morning, this cosmic order, is here for us. The Bible says that he created it, and by him it consists. That means it is held together by God. Now, can you imagine if God wasn't holding the universe together? Just imagine what would happen. You look around at everything else in the world, all the things that we've screwed up. You think we wouldn't screw that up? We'd figure out a way to mess it up, wouldn't we? We'd get her tilted a little bit too far one way or the other. We'd get it a minute or two out of orbit. We'd have this whole thing messed up. But you see, that's not in our hand. God's got it, everything, just like he wants it to be. Just, you know? Why? That's the way God did it. He consists it. He controls it. The Bible says he measured the sea in the hollow of his hand. Now, I don't know. As I said, I like to watch these, and they have ways of measuring things. And I read somewhere or watched something that they said that the deepest part of the sea was like 7 miles deep. And I'm thinking, boy, that's a lot of water to hold in your hand, isn't it? That's how big God is. There's a verse of scripture over in the book of Jeremiah. And sometimes I like to think about what these, all these scientists, people come up with all of these ideas. Jeremiah chapter 5, and I think it's verse 22. Let me look and see here. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence? People don't fear God anymore. There's no fear of God before their eyes. They don't tremble at his presence anymore. But now notice what he said, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it, and though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail, though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. Anybody here been to the beach? How wide's the beach? They're not very big. I mean, I've been to a couple of beaches. Been seen it a time or two. Have you ever thought that that little band of sand on the beach is what keeps the ocean from coming in? Now think about that. Now, if I'd have done it, I'd have built a big concrete wall, wouldn't you? I mean, I'd have made, son, I wouldn't have wanted that. But God put a little barrier of sand, and no matter how high the tide gets, no matter how strong the wind, that's where the ocean stops. That's amazing, isn't it? And he said, I've done that for perpetual decree. That means it's going to last until he decides it's not going to last. Perpetual. It's there. Now, how in the world can you do that? He's God. He's the one controlling this thing. We need to understand that every time you go to the beach from now on, you think that's a testimony to God's power when you see that little strip of sand. Just a little ribbon of sand around it this morning. He counts the stars. He weighs the mountains. And you see, this morning, we're not headed for a cosmic catastrophe. This world's not headed toward cosmic doom, as most people are worried. We hear about global warming. You know that global warming? Like it froze me to death last winter. I mean, we've got global warming and all these other things people are worried about. Let me tell you what you better be worried about. Armageddon, that's where we're headed. We're not headed for no cosmic catastrophe. God has got this world headed toward Armageddon this morning. That's where it's going to wind up. That's where the battle for supremacy of this world is going to take place. Because he, this morning, controls the world. I know you've heard this scripture before, but over in the book of Amos. Amos, one of my favorite prophets, or Dr. Shelton Jones used to say Amos. We love to hear him say Amos. Verse number 6, he said, I've given you cleanliness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in all your places, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have withholden the rain from you when there was yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city and not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece there whereupon it rained not withered. And he goes on and he tells all the things that he did to Israel during that time to try to get them to turn back to God. You see, he controlled all of that. California's in a drought. We're wet. We have pestilences. We have all these things taking place in our world, yet what? We hadn't returned to God. And when he gets to verse 16, he said, all right. He said, I want you to understand one thing, Israel. He said, I've sent the office boys. I've sent all these preachers. I've sent all of these messages. Now you better prepare to meet thy God. I'm coming. I'm coming. God is in control of this universe this morning. He's got it going, and he's controlling it. But he's also in control of the destination of history. You see, men can build great empires. The Egyptians built a great empire. Where's it at today? It drowned in the Red Sea. The Assyrians built a great empire and controlled the world at one time. Gone. The Babylonians came in and built the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Went across the world conquering. Yet the Babylonians are gone. The Persians and the Medes, gone. Alexander the Great took the Grecian Empire to the zenith of glory, running rampant across the world in fast time. Yet at age 33, Alexander the Great died, and the Grecian Empire's gone. Rome, where is Rome? Rome is gone. Hitler came and was going to control the world, but Hitler's gone. Why? God's still in charge. You see, this morning, people want to think they're in charge and they can build an empire that'll last forever. But it never happens. The empires of this world come and the empires of this world go. And the only thing lasting this morning is those things that are built by God. We've cast off all restraints. You see, we don't want God to rule over us anymore. In Psalm chapter number 2, it gives you a great detail of that. They cast off their bands. They call evil good. They call good evil this morning. They become despisers of God. They hold God in contempt. Romans chapter number 1 describes for you the descent of the human race, how into crude and vulgar and promiscuous society that we become. And they cast away the message of the gospel. They put away God's message today. They want to throw it away. They don't want to have anything to do with it. It's amazing that in many of our schools, they make provision for the children of Muslims to practice Ramadan, which is one of their holidays, one of their rituals where they don't eat. They make provisions for them. They don't have to go to the lunchroom. They can go to a separate room. Yet the Christian can't pray over his meal. Isn't that amazing? Why? They don't want the gospel. They want to cast off all the restraints of the gospel. But you know what? God's still not done. Hallelujah. God's still in charge this morning. The gospel's still going out. Hallelujah. They put Jesus in a tomb this morning. They crucified him on a cross. stuck him with a spear, laid him in a tomb, sealed it with the seal of the Roman government, guarded it by a garrison of soldiers, but praise God, he arose. And I want to tell you, you can do whatever you want to this morning, and they can do whatever they want to, but God is not dead. He's still alive. And the word of God is still going forth. It's not bound. The gospel is still going out, and they can cast off all the restraints they want to do, but praise God this morning, God is still in charge of the destiny and the destination of this world, and he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, and he's still sending out the word of God. And thank God today that God is still in charge of this thing today. We see Bible prophecy unfolding all around us today. I want to tell you that you read the daily newspaper and watch the daily newscast, and you'll see this morning that biblical prophecy is being fulfilled in every direction. And it seems to me that if you'll notice, there's one underlying common bond, and that's a hatred for the nation of Israel this morning. The red bear has raised its head again and beginning to growl. It's entered the Ukraine, and it's not the last nation it'll probably enter. The red bear, Russia, is on the rise. People thought they were dead, but they're rising again. The Bible in Ezekiel chapter number 38 tells us about that. And they're headed today when God will draw them into the land of Israel for them to be destroyed. Russia hates Israel. We find this morning the kings of the East are becoming an economic powerhouse. China is going to become the economic center of the world. I mean, who would have thought it just a few years ago that China would all at once erupt and be a financial giant? No telling how much of the country they own in our own nation this morning. How many countries, how many companies are fleeing to China for manufacturing processes? I dare say if you look around your home or in your automobile or maybe even in your pocket, you'll find something that says made in China. Made in China. Financial. The kings of the East is on the rise. And they're getting ready to invade Israel. They're going to cross the Euphrates River. God's got us headed right where he wants us to go this morning. The kings of Ishmael, they're unleashing all their hatred into the world today, and above everything else, they hate Israel. ISIS this morning, all of those Arabic nations over there have a united common core. They hate Israel. I want to tell you just a brief thing this morning real quickly. God said, I'll bless them that bless them, and I'll curse them that curse them. This nation this morning, we're no longer feared around the world anyway. And I'm burdened this morning for people. I'm concerned for people because, understand this, God's will is that Israel have that land, and God is not going to move them out again, I don't believe. And all of this hatred for Israel is being spewed into the world this morning because, but God's got them headed right where he wants them to come. He's going to bring them into the hills of Israel and there destroy them. He's going to bring this world to a place called Armageddon. And there the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to send from heaven, riding a white horse with the armies clothed in fine linen, riding with him this morning. And there they're gathered for the supremacy of the world. They're going to meet the supreme King of glory. They're going to know that God is God. and that this morning he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's going to establish a kingdom upon this earth. And thank God I'm going to be a part of the heavenly choir singing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth this morning. He's headed for the king. He's headed for the throne this morning. And God this morning is in control of all of our final destiny. You see, he sent Jesus Christ to be our Savior. He let him be crucified upon a cross, put in a borrowed tomb, and raised again. And he says to all who will come, whosoever will may come and take of the water of life freely. And this morning, when you come to Jesus Christ, your destiny is now settled in glory forever. But when you refuse Jesus Christ, you've settled your own destiny. And it'll not be changed this morning. You can't light enough candles or pay enough money, spend enough years to escape the judgment of God. This morning, God is in control. God is in charge. He's not exhausted. He's not weary. He's not worried. He's not walking up and down the ivory passage of glory, wringing his hands and taking ibuprofen. But he's sitting upon the throne of glory this morning, controlling this world. And the main thing we need to be sure of today is that Jesus Christ is our hope. Amen. Jesus is my hope. I hope that he's yours this morning. All right, if we stand together, Brother Bruce, you and Barbara would come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you this morning, Lord, that you might take this brief and simple message and use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In his precious holy name I pray. Amen.